Hi, Sandra. How are you? And one more time, I'm not going to let you answer until I say that available on Audio Tech Business Summaries is Big Ideas from Boost Your Career, which is your book, and they can be found online, audiotech.com. Also, you can call 800-776-1910 to order. Now, where was I? How are you?
Oh, thank you for asking again. I'm just terrific. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Today, I'm thrilled to hear that always. And today, I don't know if you ever remember, there was a book called Up the Down Staircase. Today's topic, what is the downside of moving up?
Yeah. Well, people really don't really consider what is the downside. I mean, how can that, you're getting perks, new perks, more money, right? More prestige. You know, the press release goes out on you, and all of a sudden, you know, why don't I have more friends at the office anymore? Gone. So there's a good executive recruiter down in Florida who was quoted in the Wall Street Journal. Great article by Sue Schellenberger, who is the management writer management for the Wall Street Journal. She's terrific, by the way. Right. She really is a great writer. So she interviewed this executive recruiter who Tim Tolan was his name. For some of the info on the downside, and yeah, he first noticed it when happy hour rolled around after his first big promotion at a previous employer, and as a VP overseeing several of his former peers, he could see the parking lot from his new office. I looked out my window Friday afternoon, he says, and there went the gang. He says, I had a few of my former friends every day as they leave for lunch. And, of course, I wasn't asked to enjoy them. So we'll go into some of the issues of what you need to do when there's an internal promotion and you are the person. It's not external. It's all internal promotion. So in the past 5 years, managers born in 1982 or later have been landing promotions twice as often as older leaders. There was a big study done on this. The study was conducted by the Conference Board and RW2 Enterprises. Many young managers sense a jarring loss of trust among former peers. Colleagues who have been passed over for promotion tend to feel less powerful, you know, causing them to be hypersensitive to slights and missteps by a new boss. Interesting, right? Some of the study was also done, interestingly enough, in Barcelona, Spain, at the Navarra IESE Business School, a very, 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 very famous one in Spain. Quote, when I'm the boss, I have to know all the answers, quote. I have to do everything myself, and God forbid, I show weakness. So arrogance and overconfidence are among the most common reasons new managers fail. This is from the Conference Board research now. Feeling as if you have to know everything can create a big barrier between you and your team. What bosses actually need is the ability to inspire others, develop subordinate skills, and lead and manage change, according to the research by the Conference Board. So trying to remain one of the gang is a big, big mistake. A coworker at a previous employee decided after being promoted, I'm still going to go out drinking with everybody. Not all his subordinates were included, however, and those he left out felt slighted. You can be friends with people, but you have to set the boundaries. And according to more research, that's best done in a face-to-face meeting. Name the change sends Mikaela Klein, CEO of Reverb, a Seattle leadership development firm. Talk with friends who have suddenly become subordinates about changing behavior required by a new role, such as having lunch together less often. And mention what you want to preserve. You might say, I really appreciate the feedback and advice you give me, and I don't want to stop. Peers may distance themselves too, widening the gulf. One of the people being interviewed, Susan Packard, COO of HGTV, a long time and well-known cable industry exec, recalls a former colleague contradicting her in meetings and rolling his eyes as she spoke after she was promoted to a job at his level. She tried asking him to coffee or lunch and requesting his advice in his areas of strength, but he still didn't warm up. She recommends finding a download partner, a person you can call for support when you need to vent. Also, look for other sources of meaning in your work. A book about building emotional fitness at work is the book that Ms. Packard wrote. It's a very, very good book called Fully Human. So here's, again, just to summarize a little bit, the do's and the don'ts. Do, set boundaries on friendships to avoid perceptions of favoritism. Talk with friends on your team about how your promotion will affect the relationship. Find a confidant outside your department to give emotional support if and when needed. And finally, in the do's, use your newfound power to set new career goals and seek out other sources of satisfaction. Here are the do-nots. Pretend your promotion won't affect social relationships in the office. These are the don'ts. Expect to be invited to every happy hour, lunch, and barbecue as you were in the past. Ain't gonna happen. 3, assume the same skills that earned you the promotion will make you a success as a manager. No way. Skills of the manager are totally different. And finally, try to look as if you know all the answers and always appear strong with your colleagues. They will hate you for that. So that's a little bit about some of the obstacles about moving up. And we really don't speak about that a lot, the obstacles of moving up, because everything is great. New job, new job, more money, prestige, the press release, and everything else. So I thought our listeners today, would be interested in learning a little bit about what you need to do in that new job.
And it reminds me of a story, and this is from some time ago. It was a major, broadcast behemoth, and I had a friend there who was the secretary. You were allowed to use those terms at that time.
Yeah.
You were the secretary. She was the secretary to the head of a certain type of programming, and she loved her job, and she loved her boss, and she loved her life. And it was organic. She was a crack. Sorry to use this word, but she was a crack secretary, and her desk was clean. Nothing stale dated. It was all organized, and I cannot sufficiently emphasize how efficient the entire thing was. She got promoted to, because you're not allowed to move laterally unless you move out of the department. Rules. So she got promoted to, let's call it, administrative assistant, and the things that she had to do were so, even though she was getting more money, she didn't have the same relationship. She was uncomfortable with her desk not being clear at the end of the day. And it was a very good lesson for me. And as I say, it was decades ago, that you really, the fit of the jobs are not necessarily the same. And by the way, it wasn't that she didn't want to progress. It's just that given the parameters, you know, you're not allowed to score an own goal. And that's always stuck with me. So.
And of course, I do remember very, very clearly, Jill. This is 1989, when I was elevated to CEO of the ad agency, and the former CEO stayed, and he had to turn a couple of people against me. Like, why did he get the job over me? And you know, I tried to talk to him, you know, over lunch and everything else, but his attitude didn't change. He was so very angry that I got it over him, and I finally had to let him go. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, you try, you do your best you can, but if this other person, the people under you, are not listening, but you do your best with them, eventually you have to let them go. And that's the truth, okay? That's not in the article. that's not in the Wall Street Journal article, but in fact, that's the reality of it.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flaum, Leader's Edge.
Have a good day.